From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia, India agree to advance the connectivity of Aceh, Andaman and Nicobar Islands. Indonesia Corner promotes Indonesian tourism and investment to Qatari people. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian and Indian governments agreed to plan of action on the development of connectivity between Aceh and Andaman and Nicobar Islands at the first meeting of Joint Task Force held in Banda Aceh on Saturday, December 7. The action plan comprises of six areas of cooperation, namely trade and investment, infrastructure development in Sabang, connectivity development, maritime affairs and fisheries, tourism, science, technology, and cultural exchange. In addition to approving the action plan, the meeting also successfully identified a number of concrete projects, such as the development and management of seaport in Sabang. As the initial stage of the cooperation, an Indian Infrastructure and Transportation Management Company, Ritas Limited, has conducted pre-feasibility study. Furthermore, both sides also agreed to boost people-to-people contact between the two parties, such as by encouraging the finalization of sister city cooperation between Aceh and the Andaman Nicobar Islands. Acting Governor of Aceh, Nova Iriansyah, said that his side is committed to supporting the strengthening of connectivity between the two regions. The Indonesian Embassy in Doha, Qatar has established Indonesia Corner, which is a booth that promotes the potentials of Indonesian tourism and investment to the people of Qatar at one of the biggest shopping centers in Doha called the Landmark Mall. The booth is open for 3 months. Based on the press statement on the Indonesian Embassy in Qatar, as quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, the establishment of Indonesia Corner aims to disseminate the potentials of Indonesian tourism, trade, and investment to the people of Qatar in the form of booklet, brochure, video, product samples, and others. Indonesian Ambassador to Qatar Muhammad Basri Sidahabi expressed his optimism that the bilateral relations between the two countries would improve through the establishment of Indonesia Corner and the implementation of Indonesia Expo 2019. He also hoped that the implementation of Indonesia Expo 2019 and Indonesia Corner would contribute to boosting Indonesian trade volume and Qatari tourist arrivals to Indonesia. The government of North Sulawesi prepares the Likupang Special Economic Zone, which is located in North Minahasa Regency, to host the G20 Conference 2023. It was stated by Secretary General of North Sulawesi Province Edwin Silangen in Manado on Saturday, December 7, as quoted by Antara. Edwin Silangen hoped that all stakeholders and government could support the plan. among the 5 super priority destinations set by the Indonesian government, 2 of them, namely the Likupang Special Economic Zone in North Sulawesi and Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara, are the candidates of the host of the international event. Edwin hoped that regional government in North Sulawesi could support the realization of the plan. He explained that the North Sulawesi government would build 3 hotels, which are also going to be supported by road access to the location of the conference. In addition to improving infrastructures, North Sulawesi government will also encourage the development of human resources, such as by enhancing the proficiency of foreign languages, for example, English and Mandarin. Deputy of Food and Agriculture Coordination at the Coordinating Economic Affairs Ministry, Musdalifah Mahmud, said that Indonesia keeps encouraging the management of palm oil plantations in a bid to improve the welfare of society. It was stated by Musdalifah Mahmud when attending the UN Conference on Climate Change, COP25 UNFCCC in Madrid, Spain on Friday, escorted by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, December 7. Musdalifah explained that the Indonesian government has carried out a number of efforts to manage sustainable palm oil, such as imposing moratorium on the permission of primary forest and peatland, and evaluating palm oil plantations. In addition, President Joko Widodo has also signed Presidential Instruction No. 6/2019 on National Action Plan for Sustainable Palm Oil Plantation. Meanwhile, advisor of the Biodiversity Foundation Kehati, Dias Suradiraja, said that there are a number of aspects that must be taken into consideration in a bid to maintain the sustainability of palm oil, such as strengthening the benefits of palm oil for the protection of biodiversity, and most importantly, giving benefits to improve the welfare of smallholders. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy hope that the 14th National Jamboree of Mercedes-Benz Club Indonesia, which took place at the Borobudur Temple in Yogyakarta on Saturday, could encourage the development of Indonesian tourism sector. It was stated by Assistant Deputy Marketing of Regional 2 at the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Fahmizal Usman, at the Prambanan Temple in Yogyakarta on Saturday. Fahmizal explained that Borobudur Temple also has significant role to improve Indonesian tourism sector as it becomes one of the priority destinations in Joglo Semar region, Yogyakarta, Solo and Semarang. Therefore, his side will encourage the event to be regularly held in the future in a bid to support the development of Indonesian tourism. In addition to improving the tourism sector, such event is also expected to provide benefits in a bid to enhance the economy of local people. Skyline Circuit in Musi Banyuasin district of South Sumatra has met the international standard as a venue for world-class motor racing. It was stated by a representative of international riders at the Musi Banyuasin Supermoto Cup 2019, Dato' Eric Loo in Palembang on Sunday, December 8. He lauded the organizers' well preparation for the international event. Musi Banyuasin District Secretary Apriyadi said Skyline Circuit that lies in a 27-hectare area has a world-class track for international championship. The circuit was designed with international standard with 1.5 kilometers of asphalt track and 350 meters of ground track. Apriyadi also added that racers from 7 countries have shared their positive response to the tracks. The Indonesian national football team secured a ticket to the final of SEA Games 2019 after 2 goals presented by Osvaldo Ha'ai and Evan Dimas in the extra time of the match held at the Rizal Football Station on Saturday, December 7, escorted by Antara. Indonesia dramatically defeated Myanmar 4-2. Previously, Dimas Darmono and Egy Maulana scored 2 goals. The goal scored by Osvaldo Hai and Evan Dimas gave Schütz opportunity for the Indonesian national football team to win the next gold medal in SEA Games, which Indonesia has never achieved since SEA Games 1991 in the Philippines. Indonesia also finally got a ticket to the final of SEA Games again. The last time Indonesia was able to get to the final was in 2013. However, it was beaten by Thailand. The Indonesian national football team is still waiting its opponent in the final, which can be either Vietnam or Cambodia. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
This week's Spotlights is on President Hope's U.S. optimizes business opportunities in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo hopes that U.S. entrepreneurs will optimize business opportunities in ASEAN countries, especially Indonesia. The president said it when receiving a delegation from the U.S. ASEAN Business Council at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. In front of around 50 members of the council delegation, President Joko Widodo said relations between Indonesia and the U.S. were quite strong, especially in economic cooperation. The United States is Indonesia's fourth largest trading partner, with investment nearly reached $1.2 billion. The head of state also said that Indonesia and the U.S. agreed to increase the volume of trade to $60 billion by 2024. At the beginning of his remarks, the president said he was ready to exchange views openly about the cooperation between Indonesia, ASEAN, and the United States. In 2018, ASEAN economic growth will average 5.1%, much higher than the global average. Indonesia's economy in the last 5 years has grown by more than 5%. The president is open for cooperation with any country in order to achieve mutually beneficial interests. According to President Joko Widodo, at present the relations of the U.S. and ASEAN countries in political matters, especially concerning economic justice, are in good condition. Meanwhile, Deputy Foreign Minister Mahendra Siregar, in a joint press conference after the meeting with President Joko Widodo with Chairman of the U.S.-ASEAN Business Council, Alexander C. Feldman, revealed that a number of U.S. companies operating in Indonesia were committed to increasing their investment. Mahendra said U.S. entrepreneurs hoped that the stability and steps to maintain the growth and development of human resources, which became the government's priority in the second period, would be actually implemented, because all the companies present also provided strong support in their respective fields and in the broader context of human development. Mahendra Siregar also disclosed in the meeting, President Joko Widodo explained some commitments and implementation of policies to improve the existing investment climate, also included were steps for the omnibus law that could further resolve some of the problems in the investment sector. Delegations from 50 American companies in ASEAN and outside ASEAN expressed support to the president's five priorities, namely human capital, infrastructure, economic reform, and bureaucracy, as well as simplifying regulation. Well, that was this week's Spotlight. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history. I'll begin with December the 8th, 1980. John Lennon dies. John Winston Lennon was a singer, songwriter, instrumentalist, writer, and political activist known throughout the world as the leader of the Beatles. After the dissolution of the Beatles in 1970, he was successful with his solo career. One of his hits that is still very well known today is Imagine, a song which later became one of the world's peace hymns. He died in New York at the age of 40, shot by Mark Chapman, his fanatical fan. turning to December 8, 1991, the dissolution of the Soviet Union. On December 8, 1991, Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus signed the Belavezha Charter, signifying the dissolution of unity and being replaced by the Commonwealth of Independent States of CIS. While there was much debate about who had the right to dissolve the Soviet Union, Gorbachev resigned from his position as president of the Soviet Union on December 25, 1991, and gave his power to Boris Yeltsin. The climax then when the Supreme Assembly of the Soviet Union dissolved itself on December 26, 1991, which also marked the dissolution of the Soviet Union as a federation only 4 days before its 69th anniversary. I'll end with December the 8th, 2010. SpaceX launches Dragon spacecraft, the first private spacecraft successfully launched and returns after orbiting the Earth. SpaceX Dragon is a capsule that can transport 7 spaceships and cargo into low Earth orbit. This capsule can bind to the non-Russian International Space Station segment. Dragon was developed by SpaceX, a North American private company. Dragon was launched with the Falcon 9 rocket carrier. It was the second time for Falcon 9. The first was in 2009 before the last space shuttle flight. The second Falcon 9 flight was followed by Dragon's first launch. It was carried out at SpaceX installation in Cape Canaveral, Florida, United States. On December the 8th, 2010, Falcon 9 brought SpaceX Dragon from Cape Canaveral. The launch was successful and Dragon split from Falcon 9 about 10 minutes after launch. Then the capsule returns to Earth precisely in the Pacific Ocean. This was the first time in history that a private spacecraft reached orbit and was brought back to the surface. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Mr. Baikan Hazarika in India. Hello, Mr. Baikan Hazarika. Thank you very much for your compliment on our broadcast. We always try to improve our broadcast every time. So keep listening and please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song.
Kamu, kamu, kamu,
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia becomes general champion in pencaksilat at SEA Games 2019. Indonesian pencaksilat or martial art team becomes general champion at the SEA Games 2019 in the Philippines by grabbing the most medals in the championship. Indonesian pencaksilat athletes successfully gained 2 gold, 3 silver, and 2 bronze medals. Actually, Indonesia and Singapore gained the same amount of gold medals. However, Indonesia obtained more silver medals than Singapore. On the last day of the match, Indonesian pencaksilat athletes added 1 more gold, 3 silver, and 1 bronze medals. Suci Wulandari won gold medal in Class A, 45 to 50 kilograms, after defeating Thai athlete Firdo Durumai 5-0. The silver medal was obtained by Khoirudin Mustaqin in men's Class A, 45 to 50 kilograms. Meanwhile, Hanifa Kusuma, who was favored to win gold medal, became the runner-up. He was defeated by Malaysian representative Muhammad Hazim Muhammad Yusli 2-3. In women's class, Jenny Kause won silver medal in women's B class, 50 to 55 kilograms. Meanwhile, Hidayat Limonu won bronze medal in men's B class, 50 to 55 kilograms. Manager of the Indonesian pencaksilat team, Sumarno, admitted that he is pleased that the Indonesian pencaksilat team could be the general champion at SEA Games 2019. However, he's not really satisfied with the achievement of gold medals since the pencaksilat team did not fulfill the target set by the government, namely 3 gold medals. Therefore, Sumarno said that the team would be evaluated to improve their performance in the next SEA Games. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our regular listener, Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. We hope you are fine. Thank you for your regular reception report. Warm regards from the crews. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song to you. Here is the song. was Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce Kalamata Fort located in Ternate. Historical records prove that Indonesia is a country that experienced the bitter colonization of foreign nations. The Portuguese was the first foreigners that colonized Indonesia in the 15th century. One area in Indonesia that was once occupied by the Portuguese is Ternate, which is now in the province of North Maluku. Cloth from Ternate was the main commodity to be controlled then, to defend that territory from other interested parties, especially from the west. They built a fortress called Kalamata Fort. In Ternate, you will find many forts left by the Portuguese and the Dutch, which later took over the area from the Portuguese. Kalamata Fortress is a legacy of the Portuguese located in Cayo Merah, South Ternate. The fort was built down by the sea in 1540 facing the island of Tidore and has a wall as thick as 60 centimeters and a height of 3 meters. Initially, the fortress was named Santa Lucia or Cayo Merah Fort because it was located in Cayo Merah village, but was later changed to Kalamata to honor Kalamata Prince, one of the Ternate princes who died in Makassar. Fort Kalamata from the center of Ternate by car only takes about 15 minutes. Portuguese characteristics can be seen on the beautiful architecture of this fort. Besides having many sharp points, the four winds directions of the fort are also equipped with four strongholds with several aiming holes in each. From the top of this fort, visitors can see the splendor of Mount Gamalama and other islands around Ternate, including the island of Tidore. After somehow being neglected, in 1994, Fort Kalamata underwent extensive renovation and the fort was returned to its original form. The beauty of the architecture of the fort has become the pride of the people of Ternate. Surprisingly, to enter this beautiful port is free of charge. So if you are in North Maluku, Ternate, make time to visit this Kalamata Fort. Besides being able to see historical relics, you can also see the beauty around this fort. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Pravotorov Kostiantin in Ukraine. Hello, Mr. Pravotorov Kostiantin. Thank you for your compliment. We hope you never miss our English program. Special for you and listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song for our regular listener around the world. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
musim pergi berganti, dan ku takkan pernah berhenti berharap mentari kan bersinar lagi. Rubah tiap hariku, rubah sepi hatiku. Apa ini janji? Bukan cerita. Oh, kenyataannya semua karena
Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, today's miscellany is about West Lombok to host international bicycle race. Sport tourism becomes more and more popular in Indonesia. More stakeholders and regions are interested in organizing it. This time, West Lombok was chosen to host Custom Cycling Indonesia 21 Third Series of 2019. Previously, the event had been held in Wonosari, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta, and Purworejo, Central Java. The third series was held on December 6th until 8th, 2019 to obtain Bupati Cup 2019. West Lombok Region Haji Fauzan Khalid was proud that his region hosted the Custom Cycling Indonesia 3rd Series 2019 because the routes in this race are Regency's tourism development targets. Among many was the uphill and scenic route of Mekaki Hills for men elite category. Race director Custom Cycling Indonesia Series 21, Bertali said, after surveying two times, he was amazed with the natural beauty and then decided that West Lombok should host the event. Besides scenic, the relatively quiet traffic was very suitable for the bicycle racers. Kak Kasang Cycling Indonesia had a 8.5 kilometers time trial at bypass of Lombok International Airport to Giri Menang Square to West for all category. There is also road races heading to Sekotong, namely 38.1 kilometers short distance, 51.5 kilometers and 64.9 kilometers medium distance, as well as 109.7 kilometers long distance. Custom Cycling Indonesia normally only has several categories, namely Men Elite, Men Junior, Women Elite, Men Youth, Women Junior, and Women Youth. However, special for this series in West Lombok, event organizer added two categories, namely Master A for 40 until 49 years old, and Master B for 50 years and older. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today about West Lombok to host International Bicycle Race. I'm Putri Safiri Adela. See you next time.
Esok nanti kenangan dan harapan bercahaya di dalam hati, sejuta mimpi menjadi nyata.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we introduce you a song sung by a pop singer, namely Shirley Shainavia. After successfully covering the song of an Indonesian legendary singer Chrisye, entitled Setia or Being Loyal on November the 29th, 2019, Shirley Shainavia again arranged a song entitled Possessive, sung by Naif Band. However, the title of the song, which was composed by Frankie Indrasmoro, or also known as Pepeng, changed to Positive. The meaning of the song also changes. It spreads positive message to people to be more aware of environmental issues, for example, the plastic waste issue. Cheryl also changed some of the lyrics in the song in a bit to amplify the message of the song, namely from Bila ku mati, kau juga mati, or If I die, you will also die, to Bila kau mati, kau hidup lagi, or in English, If you die, you will be alive again. The new lyrics call on people to recycle waste because waste can be managed to become useful products. Despite changing the arrangement and the lyrics of the song, Cheryl did not put her name in the credit. She said that the song belongs to Naif Band. So listener, here is Positive, sung by Cheryl Shainavia.
Ku ingin tahu, kalau kau mau, ku ingin kita mau, hentikan itu sebelum terlambat, jadi masalah baru.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ooh, ah, ju, ah, ya, ooh, ah, ju, ah. Ooh, ah, ju, ah, ya, ooh, ah, ju, ah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Love.
Listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.